Okay, so we're up to Simin Shin Samach Beis, Peish Resh Yud Zayin Seif Dalit, Sefina, a boat. Okay, the previous page was 432. The next page is Resh Yud Zayin in this numbering system. Simin Shin Samach Beis Seif Dalit, Sefina Mutter L'Taltel Bikula. We are discussing the various types of enclosures which were created for the purpose of living or not living, and if they were created for the purpose of living, you can carry within them even if they're larger than a base of sayim. If they were not erected for the purpose of living, you only can carry within them up to as long as they're not less than larger than a base of sayim. What about a boat? Is a ship, a very large ship, is that called hukaf ledira? If it's large than 5,000 square amos, is a hukaf ladira, yes or no? So here the Mechaber tells, Svina mutul tata bakula, absolutely yes. A boat, a ship, is made for the purpose of living, therefore you can carry in the ship even if it's larger than a base sosayim. Svina mutul tata bakula, afilu hiyose mi base sosayim. Why? Techashivu mekefas ladira, it's considered surrounded for the purpose of living. Finally, come on, simin shin zamavu, besov simin shin pei base, period. Now, what happens? Kifa'ol lodur tachteha. Now, we're not familiar with society in ancient times, but it seems that sometimes these ships were taken off out of the sea, and they were brought onto dry land, and they were used as a hut. They were used as a structure. They turned the ship upside down. That's what it says here. I don't know more than this. They were turned upside down, and people would live in. On top of it, they would use the boat as a platform, or they would, I don't know exactly how they would use it, but that's what was done. On Shabbos, we find ourselves in a situation where the ship has been turned upside down on dry land, and it's larger than the base of Sayim, and you want to carry on top of the ship more than Dalet Amos. We are the walls. The walls, we good asik. So imagine if this is a ship. Make believe the tissue box is empty. There's nothing, no tissue inside. That's the inside. And now it's turned upside down. And you want to walk on top. Are you allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos? Where are the walls? The walls are below. Like we learned yesterday, the tell. The walls do not necessarily have to be above ground. The walls can be below the surface of where you stand. As long as they're 10 tefachim, it's okay. Where are the walls above where you're standing? We apply the principle of good asik. Good means the wall. Good means to extend. We extend. Asik means up. We extend the walls of the ship all the way up ad l'shamayim. And when you stand on top of the ship, you are considered to be inside an area where there are four walls. The question is, although when the ship was made right side up to travel on the water, the walls of the ship were made for the purpose of living because you were living inside the ship. Now when you take the ship off the ocean, off the sea, the river, and you bring it on dry land, you turn it upside down, it's true, we may have halachic walls on all four sides, which go all the way to Shemayim, but can we consider these walls to be walls for the purpose of living, so that we can carry within them, on the surface, more than Dalet Amos, in a situation where the area is larger than a base sosayim? That's the question. And the Mishnah Berurah Mechaber says, yes, yes.
Can this be compared to, you go on a cruise ship, which is a temporary thing, and there are people who live on a houseboat. That's where they live.
Absolutely, 100%. It's not a comparison. A real ship, you go on a cruise, that's exactly what it says in the Mechaber. If you go on a ship, almost, of course, that's hukaf ladira. No question.
It's broken out into separate compartments.
Of course. You may need a ruvich hatzeros.
You don't need a ruvich hatzeros.
You do need, I'm sure you do need, if you have a ship and you have a special private quarters on the ship you rent, well, that's a whole issue when you go to a hotel. No, it's not temporary.
You're on it for 2 weeks.
Doesn't matter. It's that.
For a week.
So in this, the ship over here, you also on for 2 weeks. How long are you on the ship in the Shulchan Aruch?
They turned it upside down.
It's a new case.
It's a permanent thing.
That's a new case. Let's go one case at a time. When the ship is on the sea, it's traveling on the water. There's no question. That's exactly what it says here in the Mechaber. It's called hukaf l'dira. If the ship is large and the base is assigned, there's no question you're allowed to carry more than dalan amos. Do you need an eruv chatzeros? We'll get to that later on. That will come into the, a couple of simanim dealing with eruv chatzeros. But one thing at a time. We have a rule: an enclosure that's large and the base assigned, you only can carry more than dalan amos if it's hukaf l'dira. A ship. Is it hukaf l'dira? You can tell me no. You don't live in the water. You live at home. You live on dry land. Man was not meant to live in a ship. You have a ship. Maybe it's not l'dira. The long comes the mechaber. Yes, it is. Period. New halacha. Hard break. New halacha. Let's come to a new case. The ship has been taken out of service. Okay, no more. There's a defect. They don't want another Titanic. It's been taken to dry land. It's now taken and they turn it upside down and somehow they use it for some purpose when it's upside down. Why upside down? I don't know. But it's upside down. And now it's Shabbos and you want to walk on top of the ship more than Dalet Amos. So, and the area above is more than a base sign. Where are the walls? Walls is not an issue. The four walls and the four sides are the walls. Good asek. But those walls were made for inside. They were not made for dira, for good asek. So the Mechaber teaches us an incredible chiddush, that once the walls were built for the purpose of dira, even though the walls were built for in a certain direction for the dira inside, they were not built to create a good asek type of wall, l'shem dira, it doesn't matter. Chazal were lenient. That's what it says, kifa'ah. You're living tachtecha. You are living underneath it. It's a shelter. The ship has been turned upside down. People are living inside. I guess that must be a kavana. You're living inside. Because of good asig, as the Mishnah explains. Period. New case. Case number three. Let's say the ship has been taken to the repair shop. And in the repair shop, like a car, they have a lift. So by the ships, they don't lift the boat, they turn it right side up. Okay, they turn it right side up to smear it with pitch, so to tar it. So what's the halach? Kifal l'zokva, and now it's Shabbos, and you want to, somehow you want to carry inside, I don't know the exact situation, but somehow the inside, the area where you want to carry, either on the top or inside, it's very, very wide, I don't know the exact details, but it is a situation where it's more than the base of Sayim. Are you allowed to do so? No, not in this case. Kifal l'zokva, ein metal limbo ela arba amos, im hi yose mi base sosayim. Okay, so three different situations. A regular ship, a ship that's upside down, and a ship that's right side up. Each one has its unique halachas. Let's go to Simon Hay. Sifei. Bekol oisim mechitza. Anything can be used. It's very interesting halachas coming up about human mechitzas. Bekol oisim mechitza. You can use any object for a mechitza. For example, the kalim utensils. Uvi ukafos. Ukaf is a saddle. Okay, so in ancient times, think of what was common, the saddles. You can use ropes. You can use Erev means it's horizontal. Bein shel erev levad kagoyin shel chavolim o shel shesi levad, or vertical posts kagoyin kadim neutzim aretz umut, and you, anything can be used for a mechitza, any object. Any utensil does not have to be a wall. A utensil is something which will temper, because after Shabbos over, you're going to retrieve your utensil and use it for other purposes. Period. Umutamat sasayim, and you're allowed to carry more than the ramas as long as the enclosure is within 5,000 square amas. Afilu liyachad biyishadim, for an individual in a city. Now the chiddush here is, when it comes to shesiv erev, we learned in the previous sentence, Mishru points all this out, it's a mechitza geruah. A real mechitza is a solid piece of material that encloses something for real. That's a real mechitza. Having a mechitza made from reeds that are positioned less than 3 tefachim apart, or from ropes that are less than 3 tefachim of height apart from one another, is a mechitza geruah. It's a weak mechitza, because the truth is, it's transparent. You can it's a parutz merubah. The open space is more than the solid space. That's a mechitza. It's a lamdasha mechitza. It's not a real physical mechitza. But it's okay. One would think the only time Chazal allowed a person to create a mechitza geruah is where he's out in a bika, in the field, in a valley, where he doesn't have building material. But if you are in a civilized area, you're in a yishuv, you're in a residential area, where it's easy for you to go to the lumber yard, to the lumber store, and buy a couple of pieces of wood or some material to create a wall, Chazal were not generous to allow you to create a wall, a reshus hayachad, with ropes or with reeds that are positioned less than 3 tefachim apart, where the parutz, the breach, is larger than the omeid, the solid material. Along comes the Mechaber and says it doesn't make a difference. Even where you are, the Mishmur explains, even if you are a yishuv in a residential area where it's easy for you to acquire building materials to create a real wall that is omeid yoser min haprutza, where the solid material is more than the breach, it does not matter. You can be leaning, you can create such a wall. The only limitation we have, we learned this last time, Chazara, is that if you're creating a mechitza gerua for a single person, you only can build it up to the dimensions of a sasayim, 5,000 square amas. Once you exceed the limit of 5,000 square amas, even though you are enclosing it for the purpose of living, being that it's a mechitza gerua, it's a weak mechitza, you're not allowed to carry more than dalet amas. So let's see here again. The second to last line, the last couple of words, at sasaim afilu liyachid, even for an individual be yishuv in a residential area where you could easily acquire building materials. Uvilvad shelo yehei bein chevel chaver ubein kon lechaver shloish tefachim, provided that there's not a gap of more than 3 tefachim between, of exactly 3 tefachim between the reeds, the ropes or the reeds, the vertical, horizontal parts of the partition, because they should be loved. Afilu bebale chayim. This is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, I believe, Masechta Erevin. Even animals. If you have animals, a camel, and you want to use the camel, you have 4 camels, or you have 3 walls, and you want to use the camel as your 4th wall, or a dog, or any type of creature, a donkey, you can take them and you can tie them down. You can imagine the animal rights people will come, and they'll be screaming, they'll be protesting. So what will happen is very easy. You just take the animal, you tie it there, and the animal rights will come, they'll protest, and the people themselves will form a mechitza. As we'll see in a few moments, that human beings also can be considered a mechitza. But in any event, the animal can serve as a mechitza, provided, the Mechaber tells, Vavad sheyu kifusin, as long as you tie up the animal. The Mishmur says for 2 reasons. Number 1, you want to make sure it doesn't walk away. If the animal is not tied down, the animal will walk away on Shabbos, so you'll only be left without 4 walls, and then you'll not be allowed to carry. You may not realize that your animal has walked off and you'll continue to carry. And number 2, it has to be tied in order to bridge the gaps, because if a tall animal, if there's a gap of 10 tefachim, in any area that's more than 3 tefachim, that's not accounted for, it's no good. So if you tie the animal where you create a solid barrier with no gap, then it is okay. So it's critical that it be tied down for both of these reasons. Now we come to a fascinating halacha. The afilu ba'anashim, even when it comes to people, sha'imdim ze'etzel ze'vapachos mishlosha, even when it comes to people, have a nice day, take care. Even when it comes to human beings, if you have human beings, enough people standing to create a mechitza, you can carry with, let's say you have a very chashur person, right? A person, a celebrity has come to town, and he's in the center, and he's surrounded by guards, by a whole entourage of security people, and they form a human wall around.
Make sure they don't move.
They can move. They can move during the period of time that they are not moving. Even the animal itself has to be tied. That's only a precaution. But at the moment when the animal is there, at that moment in time, it's still called a mechitza. So what about human beings? Do you have a group of people that are standing around to create a human partition? Inside it's called a reshus hayachid, and you are allowed to carry. Now the Mishnah Berurah is going to give certain limitations. If you remember, in the beginning of Chelek Daled, when we started learning Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah discussed a case where you want to bring a Sefer Torah. You have a shul, and they don't have a Sefer Torah, like the Shabbos, Parsha Zohar, it's Mitzvah D'oraisa, you want to live from the Sefer Torah, there's no Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is possible. So the Mishnah discussed the case. What people used to do? They used to create a human wall from the home where the Sefer Torah is located to the shul, and that creates a mechitza. And then some would take the Sefer Torah from the home to the Beis HaKnesses. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you don't want to do that. You shouldn't do that. And we'll see here as well. But he was saying, this is what's done. Obviously, he saw this done in his lifetime. This was done, this was done. To create, and there is precedent to do such a thing. But we're going to see now, the Mechaber says, don't do this. You don't want to do this. The conditions to do this are so rare that it almost will never happen. But let's see. Nevertheless, it says, human beings that are standing zeitzel zeh, bepachos mishloshi, each person is less than 2 tefachim away from his friend, v'afilu kashay mahalchem, even when they're moving, have an entourage, a person is traveling, a person is walking, and he's surrounded on all four sides by bodyguards, inside that area is called a reshur sayachid, and the person himself can carry. The celebrity himself is surrounded on all four sides that people can carry. Here's the condition. The condition is the people themselves may not be aware that they are creating a reshus, a wall, l'shem Shabbos. So if the people that are surrounding the individual, they're surrounding him for security, like let's say you are the celebrity, you are the important person, and you have a whole entourage surrounding you as you walk, they don't realize that they are creating a reshus. They're surrounding you because they want to be near you or they want to protect you. But you realize, look at this. It's Shabbos. I'm being surrounded on all four sides by people and they have no idea that they are creating a reshus. Then you are allowed to carry, if you happen to have something in your pocket, you realize you have your wallet or in your pocket, whatever you have. You don't have to go and panic. How am I going to? What am I going to? Where am I going to put it? How am I going to not violate the malacha, the rights of Shabbos, and maver dalam is bereshusram? Because you are surrounded on all four sides. However, let's say they know that Yehusha, second Yehusha, lo yedu shehu amdu l'shei mechitza, v'afilu echad mehem yodea os. Even if one person from the entire group knows that he is creating for you a reshus hayachid, that's not permitted because you're not allowed to build walls on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a zman of construction. It's not a melacha deraisa. Boine, to build, building, standing in a place with people, that's not a melacha deraisa, but it resembles a forbidden act of binyan, of boine, melacha deraisa. So you don't lechatchila create walls on Shabbos. Even if one person knows that he's doing this, you're not allowed to benefit from what he's doing. Even if this Shabbos, you're not telling them, but if you're playing a game, in other words, a person really needs to carry on Shabbos. But this could be very good. This could happen. You're dealing with children, right? You're dealing with children and you have a class. And you know, in the street, there's something very valuable. And you want to be able to take it from the street into your home. So you have a pirchei class. So you tell all the kids, let's cut beautiful day, let's go outside. Everyone, let's play a game. Everyone stand here and stand there and you stand there. And look at that, you've created for yourself a mechitza. And now when no one's watching, you'll pick it up and you'll bring it inside. So you can do that. Technically, you can do that.
But they don't know there were mechitza.
They don't know. But if one of the kids, a smart little kid, knows what's going on, knows what you're doing, then you're not allowed to. Inkoriv hadavar sheyedu kegoyin sheasam mehem mechitza pamachas. For example, in the past, you've already done this. You have one shot at doing this, and then they figured out what you've done. So if you'll do it a second time, they'll figure out what you're planning. Lo yase mehem mechitza od. Never do this again. Again, because it's not Shabbistic. It's binyan. You're not allowed to build walls on Shabbos. It's not melacha deraisa, but it resembles something forbidden. Therefore, you should not do this. Now, let's go further. In bohu mitchila shloi ladas. Let's go further. Let's say the people happen to be gathering there, and they didn't even realize that they have created a wall. They didn't realize. Afal pi sha'achar kach yirgishu ein lachosh. In this case, it's mutter. If you have a large crowd, this could happen, you have a large crowd of people that are outdoors, and they happen to be there, and they have no idea that they're all squashed together, they're creating a wall, and even though later on they'll realize what has happened, since at this moment in time, when the wall was created with Shalei Ladas, then it is Mutter. Now, another condition, Siv Zayin, Yesh Mishoim, some say, Here's a very interesting limitation, according to the Yesh Rishonim. The only time you can do this is where you're doing it for someone else. In other words, the person that's creating the mechitza himself, you're gathering people. I'm going to give instructions to my class. They should all come outside and stand in a certain formation because I want to make them into a machitza. They have no clue. They have no idea that they're being used. What they're being used for? They're being fooled. I'm doing this so that I can carry. No, that's forbidden. If I am doing it so that I can carry, I'm not allowed to derive benefit. I can do it for someone else. The person who wants the after, it's another layer of restriction, of another limitation. I can, if I know that this other person needs a wall, so I can do it for him. I can instruct this group to stand here. The group has no idea they're being used, and the person that's going to derive benefits is not the one who has given instructions that this should be done. He figures out. He realizes, wow, look at that. There's a wall here. Excellent. I'm now able to carry. I'm going to take the object and carry it from one location to another location. But that person, he thinks to himself, it's my lucky day. Or maybe he realized someone did it for him, but he himself did not give instructions to the group of people to position themselves in a way that they form a wall. That is critical. According to the Yesh Mishaymer, Shalo Yamid Osam Adam Shehu Roitze Leishtamesh B'mechitza Zal. You may not be the one, if you want to use this wall, you may not be the one that gathered the people. Ella yamid oisam acher shaloi ledaitar. Someone else must be the one who formed this wall, instructed this group to stand in this position, and then someone else can make use of this human wall. Haga, another halacha, ve'ein lasoitz mechitza shal bnei adam rak b'shas hatzorech u'b'shas hadchak. Let's say we need this. We do want a wall. So the Ramah says, obviously it was done. It was indeed done. And definitely you follow these conditions. It was done. But only b'shas hatzorech v'shas hatchak. Now, what is shas? It doesn't say what shas hatzorech v'shas hatchak is. And maybe it refers to the Sefer Torah case. That was the Sefer Torah case that we had in the beginning. There the Mishnah Berurah's focus when it was also was only in this, it was talking about going from, there were certain details which were missing. That's why it was not proper. But if you do everything properly, it appears that there are situations, I don't know the details, I don't really look into this, but there are situations where the Ramah seems to say it can be done if we need to create a Rishur Sayach. Now he discusses another example. This is an interesting case, we'll read the Mishnah Berurah inside for this case. V'im shachach davar echad b'Rishur Sarab. What happens if on Shabbos you realize you left something valuable in the street? And there are two techniques you have up your sleeve to retrieve the object from the street and bring it into your home. Either you can create a human wall, bring out a group of people and have them stand in a certain formation and then have someone else bring the object in, or I have another solution. I'll tell my child to go out into the streets, and the child is under the age of chinuch, a small child, and will see a valuable object in the street. The child doesn't know from Shabbos, and he will, Mimela, take the object inside. What? The
kid doesn't know that it's a $30,000.
Does not know.
But can you point out this is a
watch? So we're going to see the Mishnah Berurah. So here's your dilemma. There's a $30,000 Rolex watch in the streets. You got to get that watch inside. There are two methods. Either I can tell someone else. You have a class, you have a Pirkei class, you have 100 kids. Why don't you play a game with them and have them all come outside and stand in a circle, create a human mechitza. You'll do it, you'll tell them. They have no clue what's going on, all the conditions. You will tell them to stand in a circle. They'll think you're playing a game. And I'm not the one who told them. I will then be able to take the Rolex and bring it into my home. That's one method. Other method is, instead of taking 100 kids or 100 people and have them stand in this formation to create a human mechitza, I'll just take my 3-year-old kid out into the street and tell him, and just, you know, let him stroll in the Rosh Hashanah, and maybe he'll find this thing that he thinks is a toy and he'll take it inside. Which of the two is preferred? Is the lesser of the evils? V'imshachach davar echa b'Rosh Hashanah yoyser odif. It is better lohaylich sham tinoi kois, to bring children, sheyaviu hadavar b'loy mechitza, milasois mechitza shel b'nei Adam, v'sheyivienu gadol, than an adult should bring it. So the Ramah says, it's better to use a child, one child, two children, and have them bring it in on Shabbos. They're not mechuyiv in Shabbos. They're under bar mitzvah. They're not even at the age of chinuch, we assume. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah in a few moments. Then to create a human partition with all of the conditions and have an adult who is mechuyiv in Shabbos bring the object from the street into the home. I guess it's more of piersum. It's more of a zilzul in the laws of Shabbos to have a group of adults do something like this, then have Shana. Obviously, we're not doing something which the 30,000 Rolex, because 30,000 Rolex, there are other heterim. You do pachas, mdalad amas, and you can throw it backwards. When you come into the house, you throw it kalachar yad. When you're dealing with a very great loss, that will, Mir Tashem, learn at a later point in time, there are ways to deal with situations that are great, a very great loss. We're dealing with something which is obviously not the end of the world. If the object will be stolen, okay, so it's $50, $100, it's $30, whatever it is, it'll survive. It's not going to be, I don't know, every person has a different threshold of what he considers a loss that's going to, he's going to lose sleep over. Okay, everyone, that's a different issue. But we're dealing with something which, all right, I'll get over it. You're dealing with tefillin, davar shebe'e kedusha, you're dealing with your wallet, you're dealing with going the agmas nefesh of getting a new driver's license, canceling your credit cards. I mean, this is a nightmare. Okay, that's a different story. The Shulchan Aruch tells us how to deal with those situations. Okay, you're dealing with, I don't know, $10. It's a lot of money. Don't kid yourself. $10 is a lot of money. But you'll get over it. You'll get over it.
You're not concerned that the child will remember for the future?
Oh, so I'm going to read it. Let's read the Mishnah. So the Mishnah Berurah seems very interesting. That's so interesting that you learn in Shulchan Aruch. Many times the Mishnah Berurah is, I don't know how to understand it. The Rambam says something, the Mechaber says something, and the Rambam says something, and then the Mishnah Berurah says, forget about it. It's not the way we paskin, or it's taken totally out of context, and halacha l'maisa, don't do it. That's really what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. But the Mechaber and the Rambam say you can do it. I don't know. There are certain things that are not clear. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah over here, Mem Dalet. Mem dalid lohoylich sham tinoi kois. You have a situation when you have an object that's in the street. Again, it's not something you're going to lose sleep over, but you do want to bring it back inside. There are two methods. Have a group of adults, have a group of people stand, make a human partition, and an adult will bring it in, or bring a child, and the child will naturally bring the object home. What should you do? The Rama says, do it with a child. Lohoylich sham tinoi kois. Hu she'ena tinoi kidei shechevet zeh hu shel aviv. Provided, condition number one, the child does not know that this object in the street belongs to his father. And the child has kavana for his own benefit. It's a toy I found in the street, a new toy to play with. But if he knows, that's my father's watch. This child is a clever little kid. He knows that his father's watch lying in the street. And he says, oh, I have to be good to my father. He will reward me. I have to bring my father's watch home. The child is having kavana to do b'machalol Shabbos for the benefit of his father. In that situation, every single stranger in the street who sees a child, obviously the child, I don't know, it doesn't say the age, but the child's intent. The child is at an age who is having kavana, he's a small child obviously, but he's having kavana to do a malacha deraisa for the benefit of his father. Every single person in the street, every stranger is obligated to rebuke the child. You're not allowed to be mechalel Shabbos. The kol shekein shlo yelchenu shama kadesh sheyivienu, and certainly no person is allowed to take the child to the street to bring the object with the kavana that the child should find the object and bring it to his father. V'hu adin imachevitzu shel adam acher, if the object belongs to another person, v'atinig yodo, and the child knows who this object belongs to. It's not a family member. So one's a family member, so therefore that's already, you know, this pressure. It's my father. My father's going to complain if I don't bring it home. And dealing with a stranger, so the stranger will never know that I found this object. Certainly that's worse, because there's really nothing, there's no real benefit for the child here. They're called zeh ba'acherim. All this refers to other people observing a child do something for his father. Avol aviv, a father has a mitzvah to be mechanech his own children. So the father himself is worse. Avol aviv mitzuveh lechancho, to train the child, to teach him. V'ligobo, to rebuke him. Ulehafrisho, and to separate him from doing a sin. Kishiroyehu mechal shabbos afilu lehanoas atzma. So even if the object does not belong to the father, and the child's going to take the object in for his own benefit, for his own pleasure, the father is mechuyev to tell his own child, you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. The afilu b'surei divrei soifrim, even when you're dealing with things which are not also minatari, let's say it's not a rishus harabim de'oraisa, it is only a karmelist, it's also forbidden. Certainly the father may not bring the child to the street. The father sees, look at that, there's a nice little toy, so let the kid find the toy, so it'll save me a trip tomorrow to the toy store. No, the kol shekein shlo yelichenu shama kadesh sheyivienu v'afilu enecheved shlo, it's not a product. So I don't know the answer to this question. I'm asking, so what then is the case? The Mishnah basically says, don't do this either. He says that you're not allowed, if it's your child, you're certainly not allowed this time. It's the mitzvah of chinuch. If it's someone else's child, so what's the child's intent? Child's intent is to bring the object for his father, usser. For someone else, usser. It appears the only case is where the child is going there for his own benefit, and it's not the father, it's someone else. Someone else is observing a child that's not his own, is walking in the street, and he sees an object, a toy, and the child wants to take the toy for himself, for his own pleasure. Then a stranger is not mitzuveh to rebuke the child. But if the stranger knows that the child is picking up an object to bring it home for his father, or to bring it home for someone that he knows, an acquaintance, then even a stranger is obligated to rebuke the child. But the father himself is obligated to rebuke the child, even if he's bringing home the object for his own benefit. Yes?
The father tells the child, that's Mr. Goldberg's watch.
Not allowed to. Not allowed. That's explicit in the Mishnah Berurah. Someone else. Only at the time there's a leniency. A leniency is where the child is hefker. The child is taking the object for his own pleasure.
Teach the child Hashavas Aveda.
No, not that's not Hashavas Aveda. Chil Shabbos, not Hashavas Aveda. You're not allowed. So it's extremely limited, the situation. Extremely, it has to be a stranger, and the child is taking the object for his own pleasure. Then a stranger is not obligated to rebuke the child. That's the only situation.
Is he saying that the idea is it may be in theory possible, but in practice he totally is against it?
Yeah, I mean that's what it comes out. I it's hard to grasp. Obviously, there's something going on here. I don't know the answer, but. Basically, he's telling us this is an object in the street. The Ramah says, don't create human walls. Don't abuse the halacha. There's such a thing exists, you have to be aware. There's something called human partitions. There are many limitations. The people are not allowed to be aware they're being used. There's a yesh misha oimer, that the person that's actually going to carry through the human mechitzos is not allowed to be the one that will form the human mechitzos, instruct the people. That's a very great limitation. Even when you have all of those limitations, everything is in place, you shouldn't abuse the halacha, because they'll figure out what's going on. And if you've done it once and they'll figure out next week, certainly don't do it. And the Ramah says, and if you want to have all the, even when you have all of the conditions are met, only b'shas hatchak, or Shas HaTzorech. What is Shas HaTzorech? I don't. Maybe it's Sefer Torah. Maybe that was the case the Mishnah was referring to when we learned the beginning of Siman Daled. I don't remember where it was. A Sefer Torah. But there were other problems he had. Where you going from in the house to out? The first step, the transfer. And I think that was the issue. The issue was you have in the street. But what about you have to make sure that the mechitzah goes all the way into the house? So there shouldn't be an issue. Okay. And then the Ramah says, what happens when you, the other solution, if we're not going to let you to make a human partition, what about letting a child go out into the street and pick up an object? It's also not such a good idea, because there's an inyan of chinuch. So, basically, you're not allowed to do any of these things. Okay, let's go, we're out of time, okay, so.
How about if you limit each carrying episode to under 4 amos, and like every half hour?
Oh yes, that's a solution. Yes. That's what you do when you do something that's very valuable. That we're going to learn. We're going to learn later on. If you find in the street, like we said, your wallet. What's your wallet lying on? Your job with your wheels. You have in your pocket your wallet. While, like I said, to can't see credit cards and to lose your driver's license, it's not a pleasant experience. We all know that. So then there are special halachas of how to deal in that situation. Like I said, the case here we're discussing is you're not going to lose sleep over losing this object. What is the threshold of not losing sleep? Every person is different. For some people, $10, you're going to lose sleep over it. Some people, you know, even $500, I'll live. My wallet? I'm not going to go spend the whole week. That I can't live with. I'll spend the whole week and running after, going to DMV and running here and running there. That's a different story altogether. Okay, so we'll stop here. The next halach is a very important halach. Mishnah Monday, we begin Paritz, Meluva La'omer, dealing with issues of modern day Eruvim. Some very, very, some very fundamental laws of Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Eruvim.